Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, a special edition of Atlanta Business Radio, and it's going to be a good one. How's Stone?
Hey, man, I've been looking forward to this for some time. You know, we were out covering the Hinman Convention. We got our press credentials, got the free bacon, the free eggs. We were walking the floor, and all of a sudden, this guy grabs me on the elbow and says, "Hey, do you remember me?" And of course, we did. We met this gentleman some time ago, had him in the studio. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, president of Crisp Video, Mr. Michael Mogul. How are you, man?
Excellent, excellent. I'm doing well, and thank you for having me. I'm glad you mentioned the us meeting at the Hinman, because the first PR that I ever did when we started Crisp was almost 3 years ago, and it was with you guys. And at the time, we were really just starting out, and now kind of, I guess, things come full circle. So I really appreciate it, and thank you for having us back.
Now, 3 years ago, had a lot of other media companies tried to interview you and give you an opportunity to tell your story?
No way. We were brand new. I don't think anyone was returning any emails or phone calls or anything then.
And then you got to come on a Business Radio X show and talk a little bit about what you guys were doing.
Yeah, and I think it added a lot of just credibility and authenticity. I think that was really helpful for people, and we were able to kind of explain the service that we were offering, what our goals were at the time, which were really ambitious. And ultimately, I think it got us out there. So it was very helpful, especially in Atlanta.
Absolutely. And so why don't you refresh our listeners and tell us what you guys are up to?
Sure. So Crisp Video Group, we're a corporate video production company. We work with everything from small and medium-sized businesses to larger corporate brands, and we produce a lot of digital web-based content, things like business overview videos, anything as far as event videos, conferences, really just any video solution that a company might have. Do some TV stuff, but most of the stuff is now going to the web. And really anything on the video front. We're based out of Midtown in Atlanta, but mm-hmm. we do film nationally.
And then, early on, were you always doing the corporate, or had you been doing like commercials and things like that?
You know, we started originally working with small businesses and medium-sized businesses, and then eventually kind of grew into larger businesses and brands like Red Bull and Verizon and Lexus. But I still think our core focus is really on small and medium-sized businesses, whether it's dental practices and legal firms and medical offices, really businesses like those where we feel we can make the biggest impact.
And then when you're working with a new customer, how do you kind of educate them about how to leverage video? Maybe they have in their minds they would use it a certain way, and then you guys kind of manage those expectations and share with them what you've learned.
Sure. So 3 years ago, the battle was really convincing people that they needed a video. Now, I think everyone's sold on the idea that video is effective and video is engaging, but really where I see this, the industry trend has shifted is more in terms of what's the video solution. So what's the marketing goal? With our clients, they usually come to us and they oftentimes don't know exactly what type of video they need, but they know what type of marketing or sales problem they're trying to solve. So whether they want more clients or more patients, or they just want to educate their team internally, or just produce branding content to kind of gain authenticity in their industry. So we kind of work with them through that process and kind of come up with the video solution based off their goal.
Now, my kid is in high school, and he did a project, and they use video from their phone, and I was just blown away by the quality of what they were able to accomplish with the phone. Do you ever run into that where the client thinks, well, why can't I just do this myself?
Sure, and really not so much with our clients. There's obviously, I think the phones really do shoot great quality now, especially, but we don't really run into as much of that. What I would say is, you know, you could film it in relatively good quality, but then, of course, the lighting and the audio,
right,
and then any actual editing and post-production. But really, there's the biggest factor, and what we always kind of preach is that it's never just a video for the sake of doing, when it also comes down to the implementation. And really
the strategy of doing why you're doing it.
Correct.
And that's where you help them?
Sure, yep.
So how does the engagement, if that's the right word, start? Like, let's say we want to do a Business Radio X video to profile the audio stuff that we do. Do we go meet with you and you have this sort of structured methodology for helping us lay out a project? Or how does that piece work?
Yes. So we do basically a discovery process where we help you come up with a marketing strategy. If you don't know what you're looking to do yet, but you do know what the marketing problem is that you're trying to solve, and usually it comes down to really one of two things. Either one, you want to kind of increase brand awareness and be found on the web and have just more inbound inquiries in terms of more people reaching out to you, more contact form submissions, more phone calls, that type of stuff. Or you know that you're already getting a good bit of traffic and you really just want to focus on increasing conversion, mm-hmm. meaning that the people that do get to your website are more qualified. So in terms of making sure that it's the right type of client and the right budget range, but also that they ultimately do submit contact forms and they ultimately do convert into clients. So there's basically different video strategies based on what the goal is.
And what level the prospect is, right, where they are on their buyer's journey, like, because you have to communicate something different if they've never met you as opposed to something that they know who you are.
Exactly. And we reference the buyer's journey a good bit and really into three stages where one, it kind of begins with awareness. And I do want to mention that it doesn't necessarily mean that a client's going to fall into one of these from the start and then go to the very end. Sometimes they come in at the middle. But it starts with awareness where they say they might find your content, maybe not even on your website, with a YouTube search or someone shares it on social media or an mm-hmm. e-blast. Typically something in the awareness stage is more of an FAQ style video or engaging content or something that provides value to people that may not be necessarily a hard sales pitch. It might just be like, here's some information about this, or here's an exciting bit of content that's like viral content, for example. Then when they get into the consideration stage, that's when they're trying to vet you and decide, okay, do I like these guys? Do I trust these people? And that really comes down to the quality of the video too. Quality video reflects quality brand, just as any other type of marketing does.
Right. It has to all be congruent, right? If you're saying you're a high-end product or service and then you have low-end video, you know, that's kind of creating some confusion in the minds of the prospect.
Exactly. And once they see that, then really it gets down to the decision, which often comes down to testimonials or reviews right. and people making educated decisions based on social proof from other people. So we do a lot of customer testimonial videos and things like that too.
Now, who'd you bring with you?
We brought quite a few people. I was going to say I'm very humbled that everyone was able to kind of take some time out of their day today to come out and be a part of this. But I guess we'll kind of go around the table.
Yeah, let's start with Meredith, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So Meredith Millwood, she is with the Atlanta Humane Society. We had the outstanding opportunity to work with them. They went through a rebranding recently, and we produced a brand video for them. But it was an absolute pleasure to work with Meredith, and they're doing some really incredible stuff. And hopefully the video has been valuable and really helpful in terms of the new brand strategy.
Now, Meredith, can you just talk about the Humane Society, what you guys, most people are familiar, but maybe share a little bit about the mission and the purpose?
Yeah, our mission is to find forever homes for the homeless animals here in the greater Atlanta area. We place about 7,000 animals in homes each and every year.
And then how did you come up with the term forever homes? That seems very intentional.
Because we want you to adopt a pet for life. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to look at this as a temporary companion. We want you to bring this animal into your family for the life of the pet.
And then when a person comes in, are they just like kind of browsing and they're looking for a certain type of animal? How does the process work?
You'll find everything. Someone that's, you know, just coming in to kind of window shop. And then there are the people that come in looking for a specific age, a specific breed, a specific sex. So mm-hmm. we get all kinds.
And then what is the inventory of animals? Is it like only dogs and cats, or is it all kinds of animals?
It's only dogs and cats. We're primarily in the companion animal business. But if you're looking for
like a monkey.
That's unfortunately.
What about, like, there are certain, like, specialty animals like greyhounds? Do you ever do any of those, or you send those people
yeah.
to somewhere else?
Actually, specifically greyhounds, we've had a few mm-hmm. in the last couple of months, and Italian greyhounds at that. Mm-hmm. They're not there long, but...
Those are popular?
Very. I mean, within minutes of hitting the floor,
really?
They were gone.
Do you use online? So like they're on the web and you can browse on the web, or you have to go physically to the location?
No, our web is operated in real time.
Wow.
So if an animal is available, it'll be on the website. And as soon as an interested adopter comes along, they're immediately taken off the website.
Wow.
So we have a lot of people that check out that web page first thing in the morning. And
really?
Yeah.
So they'll be looking for a certain breed?
The ones that are looking for a specific breed are checking in very regularly, and they are at the door waiting by the time we open.
Now, how did you get involved with them?
I started working for the Humane Society in October because I adopted a dog about a year ago and it changed my life.
From the Humane Society?
Mm-hmm.
So you had never been there before?
Not prior to adopting our dog.
Right. So then how was that process for you?
It's been great. I started off as a foster. Took a dog that
that's
had
a baby step.
Yeah. That had a little bit of a skin condition. And knew the first time he peed on me that he was staying forever.
So that was, he sold.
Marked his territory.
He's a closer.
Yeah.
Right. So now, so talk about fostering.
Yeah, fostering is a great opportunity for someone that's either unsure if they have the time,
this
the energy.
This isn't the forever pet, right?
It very well can be.
It
in
can
my
be.
Case, it
could
did.
Be a baby step.
Yeah. So it's a great way to kind of get your feet wet if you've mm-hmm. never adopted an animal before or you've never had any experience training an animal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to give back to the shelter as well. We're always in need of fosters. You know, we have animals that need everything from medical treatment to behavioral help, and they fare much better away from the shelter if they need that kind of special attention.
Now, is it an overwhelming experience for some people to walk into the shelter environment?
Oh, yeah.
Any tears? You probably see tears every day, right?
Happy tears and
happy
not so
tears,
happy tears.
Right?
You'll get both. yeah, it can be overwhelming, but, you know, we're there to help you find the perfect fit.
Right,
for you're
your looking for the right match, right?
Yeah, that's what we're there to do.
And then does that take some education? Like the person might in their head think, oh, this animals exactly what, because I saw a picture of it, but in real life that may not be the right fit for the family.
That is 100% correct. We get a lot of people that come in and they say, you know, they want a shepherd, and we say, well, how many hours a day are you home? Very rarely.
It's I have an apartment.
I live in an apartment. I really don't like to exercise. Right. I'm more of a couch potato. And we say, let's rethink this. We're very confident that we will always be able to find right. the perfect match for your lifestyle.
What about a lot of people have these little dogs they put in their purse?
We've got those too.
What's the do's and don'ts for that animal?
You know, that's going to be the folks that are looking for more of a low energy animal. You know,
are they the cat of dogs?
Yeah, pretty much.
What?
Yeah, that's the way they seem. I don't know.
The littler dogs seem to have bigger personalities sometimes.
There was one on the plane back from Chicago.
I know, that's
right?
Why I brought it up. Right? They were carried it right
on
the
plane. Just like a briefcase. All right, so I want to hear about the work with Michael and his crew. What compelled you to work with them, and what was that process like? All the way back to identifying that, hey, this is something maybe we ought to do, to trying to select a partner to do this important work with. Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So we wanted to work with Michael from the start because his work spoke for itself. It was very impressive. And then we reached out to several of his references and they had nothing but wonderful things to say. So we knew that that was going to be the right fit for us. Our struggle came from the fact that I think it's really easy to ask a production company, a video production company, to shoot images. You know, this is what we want to show. These are the images we want to capture. We didn't do that. We said that we want to capture an emotion, a feeling, a sentiment. We gave very little direction. And
on how it would be captured. What was the emotion you were trying to capture?
Well, we wanted to show folks that we're not a sad, scary, dark, depressing place.
Right, so no Sarah McLachlan.
No, that is not what we were trying to do. It's a very bright, opening,
right.
open, welcoming, friendly place. And that's what we wanted to show. And his videographer came in and asked very little questions. He had, you know, no prior interaction with our facility, with our mission. He kind of walked in and kind of knew immediately, and really did. We were all kind of blown away with the emotion that he did ultimately capture in this video.
And then are you able to tell if it had an impact on the actual way people perceive the Humane Society?
Well, we're just launching it this week.
Oh, it's brand new.
Yeah, it's brand new. I know we, you know, we shared it with our board members and with our staff members, and people were tearing up because, you know, we live and breathe that every day, and it's oftentimes hard to explain, you know, what it means to us to work there. And I think everyone kind of felt that's why.
So it was for internal use or it's for,
no,
the, it's for both?
It's for the public. Uh-huh. We want to be able to show people that have never been in the Humane Society what it's like and why it is such a wonderful place.
So I also want to bring in the very reserved guy at the end of the table. I want to talk to him a little bit. Could you please introduce yourself, sir?
My name is Nabil Ismail. I'm an executive vice president at Hi-Res Studios, and I'm focused on operations, technology, and esports, which is a term probably very not many heard of and around the
stable.
Did
you say esports?
Esports.
Okay, so you're going to have to give us a primer, man. What is that?
Pretty much esports is electronic sports or competitive gaming. It's something that's growing rapidly. In the gaming industry, which happens to be a $71 billion industry, section of it is basically focused on PC gaming. And that's basically rapidly being accepted by a lot of people. One in five gamers, they participate part of it. We have a competitive client, Smite, and it's basically a game that it's a multiplayer online game, and it's a mythological game that is focused on different pantheons around the world. And
okay, Meredith, what kind of dog should a gamer have?
Is there?
They're all couch potatoes, so it's a very, very good question.
A lazy dog.
Lazy dog. All right, so you've been working with Michael as well, or you're going to decide after this show?
I've been working with Michael now since October of last year. And we came to Michael, actually before that, Michael helped us promote the game and, basically promote our events here in Atlanta. And then we were like, okay, let's try to use you to actually make recap videos of our events because we want to show our clients and the people that are in our community, like how awesome our events are and are basically, you know, show them what we've done and basically close the gap between the online viewers and the viewers at our current events.
So now the event, you had one earlier this year, right?
Yes, in January.
At like Cobb?
Cobb Performing Center.
Right. So now what happened there? Like it's a bunch of people playing video games at the same time?
Basically, the Smite World Championship, we invited eight different teams from across the world. Two
and
teams.
Did they have to earn the right to be? Like you can't just say, I'll pay money and I get to show up?
Yes, they literally played for a whole year and competed online and in LAN events.
It's like World Poker Tour. That's what the old people watch.
It's a little bit different. The only difference is they're competing for $2.6 million. And the top team walked away with $1.3 million. And these guys are, the average age is, you know, 17, 18. And they're all competitive gamers.
So now I'm just trying to visualize what this environment looks like. Is it a bunch of couches with like Cheetos and Red Bull? Like what does the floor look like where they're competing?
You really like describe.
I got to watch the video.
You got to watch the video, but also you kind of describe the backstage on the, on the main stage. It's a world-class stage where you have two desks with five different PCs, a big, 26-foot screen. We had basically like five different screens, and we had like a production company that's running the videos for, for the different shots. And,
So these gamers, typically they play virtually, right? They're all over the world simultaneously. And now you made them play together, like sitting next to each other?
Yes, we flew them in.
They probably never met before, a lot of them, right?
Yes.
This was the first time they met in real life.
Yes. I mean, most of the people that actually, they got to meet and they got to experience, meeting each other.
Just for that is a prize by itself.
Right.
So now, what was that like when they actually met each other? That must have been weird. I'd like to have been at that event.
That's what I want.
That's what you need video of.
We actually did make different videos of that, and we followed them from the airport.
From the airport all the way to
the venues.
That's awesome.
Michael has actually, his team went to London and shot one of
them. You got to do what you got to do, right, Michael?
Yeah. And that's basically, you know, we follow the competitor and, right. you know, life cycle, basically. And it's just like, how did you get here and how did you make it to be competitive?
What was the youngest age?
15.
15. Was that the minimum that?
No, we have, don't have a minimum. At the our national, we had 13 years old as well.
Wow.
Yep.
That's frightening.
It's very frightening to the parents, and you're surprised how many phone calls I have to actually spend talking to parents that we are actually legitimate, and this is real.
Your kid can really win $1 million.
And I made a lot of good friends with all these parents because when they came, we made them feel comfortable. We made them feel like, yes, we are legit, and we are actually going to write the check. And it's not just a big check that you're going to get.
And your kid hasn't been wasting his time locked in his room.
Exactly. We have one of the gamers. He's actually from Georgia, and Michael did a piece on him. His name is John Barracuda. And, you know, he finished college, and then he got into competitive gaming. And he's now $300,000 richer.
Now, is this gaming in the Atlanta market? Can you talk about the Atlanta gaming community? Because I know you guys are here, but there's a burgeoning gaming community, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a from an esport perspective, we were the first to bring esports to from a MOBA perspective to the scale that we did here in Atlanta last January. But there's a lot of different video game companies, for example, Tripwire and other game companies. Georgia in general, they do offer a lot of tax incentives.
Right, there was a tax credit for entertainment and movies that people don't realize that also affected the gaming industry as well, right?
So then
you guys were high-fiving when that happened, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why back in 2005 when we created the company, that was one of the major reasons why we chose Atlanta as well. Right.
2005. What did a game look like then? Was it that little dot that goes up and kills the submarine?
It was like
our
Pong.
Our founder and CEO, Erez Goren, he's much more. He has a lot bigger plan. So we made Global Agenda at the time, and we're focused on online multiplayer games.
Now, when you say there's an event, for the listeners out there, kind of let them know how many people attend this event. This isn't like 100 people.
No, this is it was a sold-out event with 3,000 attendees.
Wow.
And 80-plus thousand people watching online. Mm-hmm. So everything is basically being produced digitally and broadcasted digitally to Twitch.tv, which is a gaming platform online. And they have 2.8 billion viewers a month. So you start looking at all these numbers and you start seeing that esports is real.
And sponsors might be interested, right?
We love sponsors.
When there's billions of people watching something.
For sure. Many, many different sponsors. We've had Curse Voice to be the title sponsor for us. Internap and many other companies.
Consumer products getting involved in sponsors as well, or they're not yet?
With other titles, they are. For example, Coca-Cola, they're working with League of Legends. Mm-hmm. American Express works with League of Legends and many others. So there's like a lot of interest that's peaking right now from a lot of the businesses to, you know, the amount of people. Like in one weekend, we were able to get 5 million unique viewers.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And it's just like that content always lives with you. And that's one of the reasons why we brought Michael is like, how do we close the gap between the people that's attending physically and the people that's watching online,
right,
and allowing them to feel that they're there with us and get them to experience the whole event.
And also it adds a layer to Michael's earlier point about the buyer's journey. The sponsor gets to see all that, and they can connect the dots, and they can see how their product or service can live in that ecosystem,
right,
and that they can grow their kind of business through that tool, right?
And we've done a lot of experimentations with the game itself. So, like, for example, within our game, it's essentially there's towers. There's different events that happen inside the game that is people get excited about. And we basically mentioned that, you know, a tower kill brought to you by InterNAP or brought to you by City of Alpharetta or brought to you by et cetera.
Right.
And City of Alpharetta is one of the biggest sponsors for us.
Oh, really? Because that's where you're based?
Yeah, we're based out in Alpharetta.
Now, Michael, when you're working with a client like this, this must be pretty exciting to cover an event. Is that your first event, the one earlier this year?
It was the first event at the COP Performing Center, but we had a launch tournament that was center stage, and we also had GameVid Expo over.
So now you're going to start doing this, though, right? That's not just a one-off.
It's not a one-off, right? For sure.
This is now you're on tour.
It's a little bit different, but yes, you can say so.
So I want to interview the winners next time you do one of these things. I want you to bring them to the studio. We'll talk to them about the competition. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that.
So there's one guy in the studio wearing a tie, and I'm just going to go out on a limb. Is that the attorney in the group? Yeah? So introduce him, if you will, Michael.
Yes, yes, and not just any attorney. Jim Yergin is the absolute best DUI attorney, and DUI Jim, actually. We've been working together, I think, now for well over a year, maybe even a couple of years.
You better clarify that. He's a DUI attorney, and you've been working with him for how long?
Yes, so never as a client.
Okay, we want to be perfectly clear in our communication here, Michael.
But, when Jim had approached us, as you can imagine, I guess, when you're looking at in legal industries or even dental industries, a lot of the content. So how do you get somebody to be engaged with you if you're running a business where you're an attorney and you're providing like legal content? How do you get someone to continuously stay on top of what you're doing and really how do you keep them interested? So we really wanted to come up with some creative content that's going to be valuable to people and engaging to people, but also something that's not necessarily the hard sell. Like you see a lot of these legal videos, these late night infomercials, where these guys are on the back of buses. We didn't want to take that approach because
you're trying to be a little more elegant.
Right. And also it's just the terms of it comes down to, again, the types of people that you're marketing towards and the types of clients that you're aiming to reach out to. It's not the ambulance chasers. It's a lot of the guys that are respectable people that have, they may have made a mistake, but they're good people. They're the vice president or CEO at a company and they want to work with a professional that they trust.
So, Jim, when you were getting involved with Michael, you knew you wanted to do video? So how did this come about?
I did know I wanted to do videos. This is one of the few fields where I was actually an early adopter. I came to Michael, and we were introduced through a mutual friend, and I had a few videos on my site that I had done through another group. Michael said he'd take a look at them and let me know. And, you know, you hear that from a lot of people, and then there's never follow-up. I believe the next day I had an email, a text, and a voicemail from him. And he said those videos are good, but we can do so much better. Mm-hmm. And I'd say Michael has been a godsend with what he's done. DUIs, especially in Atlanta, the metro area, are very, very competitive. It's a saturated field.
Right. And your website is kind of an important portal for you for business, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The first thing people do once they get out of jail after they take a shower and get something to eat is go to Google,
Google.
And start
and
looking.
DUI Atlanta.
Exactly. And I have to say, Michael and I have worked on some projects over the years, but about 6 months ago, he did my website. And I asked him a few questions, and he said, you know, I can't promise anything, but probably in about 6 months, you'll start ranking well on Google. And yesterday, we actually hit page one.
Wow.
So, not only was he correct, but he did exactly what he said he was going to
and
do.
And then, so how do you leverage the videos? Are you using it in concert with paid advertising, or is it all organic?
Most of it's organic. The beautiful thing about the videos is we can upload them to pay sites. Mm-hmm. They're great for our SEO. They're great for information. Also, with ranking, it gets people on your page, and they stay there. And my understanding is that's also what Google and the other search engines like.
That's a good criteria. Now, now in your business, how do your clients, how has it been received through the people who actually come and see you?
Like they absolutely love it. Essentially, most of the sales work has been done by the time they come through the door. I gave Michael a script, few things, a few technical terms. He took everything, very few questions, made wonderful products. And it really helps us sell ourselves when we don't have to do it. By the time that people come in, they're educated, informed, ready to make a decision.
Now, in your business, is it before you got involved with Michael, how were you going to market?
We did most of the normal avenues. We did have a website, but it was probably on a page 100 or something, or on an organic search. There are other websites out there for attorneys, but the video can also be incorporated with those, which
Have templated attorney websites they used?
Of those, but there are also ones where you can get on and answer questions, things like that. And then you can follow up with the video. So if it's too technical or you're going to run out of room to type, you can send them a link to the video and it answers everything perfectly.
So the content in these videos that you guys have done, is it educational, like thought leadership, and you attack a specific subject and make me feel comfortable that, hey, this guy really knows what he's talking about, I'll reach out to him? Is that the method, or is there more to it than that? Or
yes. So, you know, when you're thinking about getting content out on the web and you want people to find you, you have to think like a human being and not like a robot. So when people are searching for things, they're asking a question. They're not just typing in just keywords. They might be asking, what do I do if I have suspended registration, or if I get a DUI or a suspended license, or whatever that might be. And we created educational content based on that would really inform them. Here's some information about the situation. Here are some things that you can do, whether it's the Georgia state law or whatever it might be, but educating them on the process. And I think a lot of times that helps them. It doesn't really push business away from you. I think it's usually quite the contrary. Once I relate it to, for example, redoing a bathroom. When I wanted to redo my bathroom at home, I looked it up online on Google and I looked at how to retile this stuff. And by the time I got done watching the video, I knew 100% I wanted to hire a professional.
Yeah, you didn't want to do it anymore. You
know? Oh, that's a great example.
So some people think they want to do the DUI thing themselves. You got to be kidding me.
Some do. I have to say, when I was a DUI prosecutor, I had lots of trials that were pro se, people defending themselves, and that never ended well for them.
What, because they watched Law and Order? Like, what is the thinking behind that?
A lot of them, because DUIs are generally in a traffic court type setting, they feel that it's going to be their Law and Order moment. And that's never a good thing.
Any tips and tricks for the listeners out there?
I do have quite a few. It varies, but just always be nice. Don't try to fight the officer in the street, and just do what you think is best.
You don't think you can argue and persuade him on the street to go away?
Not likely.
Is there things you should not say or say?
Generally, they'll ask if you've been drinking, things like that. They know.
What's the right answer to that question?
You want the right answer or the honest answer?
I want the answer.
Generally, we tell people, I prefer not to answer that question, or just not to admit to it.
Now, we had, it's funny, this is like defense attorney week. We had a defense attorney on the other day who said that, because we were talking about it, when the police say, well, I want to talk to you about a crime, and like you go, well, I don't want to talk to you, I want to talk to my lawyer or whatever, on TV, the police are like, oh, you must be guilty then, right? So is that the same kind of situation that, because that's a weird power dynamic, you're the person, whether you're guilty or not, you don't want to say the wrong thing that could hurt you later on.
That's correct. And before I started doing this, I assumed the same thing. Oh, you want a lawyer, there must be a reason why,
right?
I.e. you did it.
Like every TV show, that's how it plays out.
Right,
like,
and it's always a dramatic moment. Right. I want my attorney. And that's how you usually know that's the guy who did exactly. It in the show.
There's no good reason.
Right, no, but in real life, innocent. You're absolutely right. People get nervous. They don't know what to expect. Sometimes they just want an attorney to go in with them so they have a friend.
Right, some advocate, right. That's kind of watching your back. Because a lot of times the person gets in trouble not for what the initial thing was, for misspeaking something and that interview that was, under oath or something.
Absolutely. And even if the investigation is not focused on you and the police just want to speak with you, it's very intimidating. You're coming down to the police station, they're going to take you to a small room and speak with you.
And they have information you don't know.
Correct. And a lot of people don't know this. They can actually lie to you during the interrogations, during the questioning. They can make things up, things of that nature.
So now, in your business with the videos, so you're trying to take kind of a more elegant, higher-end approach to this than some of the other people. Now, how did you come up with that from a branding and positioning standpoint?
That always felt like the right thing to do. I like to share information with people. And in the videos, we even include some of the defenses. Many attorneys, they'll tell someone, oh, you're charged with a suspended license, pay me X, and that's about all they find out. In our videos, we tell them, well, this requires 2 days in jail. If you're convicted, mm-hmm. it's an additional 6-month mm-hmm. license suspension.
Right.
There's no limited permit. Here are some things you need to look for. And I just feel being upfront with people, being honest, it really builds that.
Transparent, that helps.
It builds that trust relationship, and that's really what you need with your attorney.
So unlike some of the other practices or disciplines, it probably doesn't necessarily make sense to have a DUI attorney on retainer, or does it? It depends on your lifestyle.
No, it's good. It's good to know one, and I do have a few drinking buddies who introduced me as, this is my DUI attorney. And that's always an interesting.
Are you like friends at bars? They all the bars want to know you.
I've represented many of the clubs around town, and I'm a night owl. Thankfully, if I get that 2 or 3 a.m. phone call, oops, we need you to come down.
But at a very tactical level, you should probably know a DUI attorney and know someone that you're going to call if, for whatever reason, you're going to be in that situation. You should know someone to call, because you're trying to make decisions under stress when you're.
Exactly.
Right.
And the one thing I could tell you is, it's one of those things where you need to do your research beforehand, because no one's ready for the stop. They right. never think it's going to happen to them. And they equate it to a speeding ticket situation, where if I'm friendly with the officer, I agree with him, I do everything
right,
he
I'll
says,
be charming, and then
maybe he'll let me go.
Right.
And it's not a speeding ticket, and they're not going to let you go.
And the repercussions are 100 times worse.
Absolutely. License suspension, certain places when you're arrested, your picture goes on the internet.
Oh, what fun.
Those are very challenging to get down. And also, depending on the type of work you do, you could lose your job based on the arrest alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
And then once the conviction happens, then that's following you around too, right?
Correct. Exactly.
So I want to talk about the secret sauce a little bit, if we can, without compromising too many trade secrets. Michael, when you go into a project like that, it's educational, it's elegant, it's thought leadership, it's building confidence from someone who's not meeting you person face to face. Is it highly scripted? Is it your guys asking him just questions, like more casual, and then you piece that together? Or is it idiosyncratic and it just depends on the situation, depends on the client? Or?
Sure. It usually depends on the type of video. So with a lot of educational content, we do usually script those because we like for those to have a very structured flow to them in that we prepare the subject matter and the subject material. For most of the videos that we do, though, we're actually just asking interview questions, and we'll kind of ask leading questions with the types of responses that we're looking for based off of the subject matter of the video. And then, of course, we cut out the interviewer and we cut that together into a video that tells a story. Typically it's, we don't really script too much content. We don't like to do it because it doesn't come off sounding as natural. But I think with a lot of educational content, or if it's something like a frequently asked question, you want to be succinct and
yeah, it makes sense.
And really know what message you're trying to get across.
Now, do you have to spend time kind of media training the person so that they're answering it in the proper way, that you can use the content and in the right way?
So, with anyone that we work with, they don't have to have any prior experience other than really just showing up on the day that we shoot. We do coach them in terms of how to answer questions. We like to have answers in complete sentences. So if you were to ask someone, what is your favorite color? They would say, my favorite color is. That way it's just easier to cut
right,
the video.
You don't want them to say blue.
Oh, then you can cut the interviewer out if you want, like you were talking about earlier, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So we do that. And then, some people are more nervous than others, and that's completely fine. I mean, we've worked with... I promise you, we've worked with somebody who was more nervous than whoever we're interviewing. currently, I mean, there's people we've done 30, 40 takes, but we'll get it right, and we'll be able to stitch the best pieces together. So, and that really just falls on us to make ensure that people do feel comfortable, mm-hmm. Because ultimately, we're not trying to get people to come across it something that's not true to them or their brand. People really like authenticity and people
right.
who are genuine. So we're not really trying to say, well, you're going to be this type of person, or you're going to have this type of personality. We want them to kind of stay true to themselves. And I think that's ultimately what causes people to trust them. Even with Jimmy, you'll see if you follow him on Facebook, he's just to tell you how an honest guy he is, he's encouraging people to take Ubers, which kind of goes against his entire business model. So,
right.
So things like that. And fortunately, we kind of pick and choose many of our clients too, and we try to work with the ones that we really believe in their vision too.
Right. So your value system is congruent.
How about that mashup? How about an Uber DUI lawyer service?
Sounds great to me. I thought about implementing one with a limousine service where right. we'll pick the friend up and drive them to the bonding company and wait while their friend's released.
All right, Michael, you ready to introduce the headliner? I mean, he's been very patient. He's been nodding his head. I don't know if I caught him taking any notes, but I'm going to put up this tequila bottle back in the drawer that Lee gave me yesterday for Cinco de Mayo while you introduce the other gentleman that we haven't talked with yet.
Sure, absolutely. So we've got Kevin Wilson also, who's the creative services director for Active Production and Design. They do quite a bit of AV work. I mean, they're huge. They work with the Georgia Aquarium and so many different companies. They do outstanding stuff, and we've had the opportunity to work with them on some of the video projects. We actually just finished a recent one with them, and Kevin is always a pleasure to work with.
All right, Kevin, tell us a little bit about Active.
Well, hi. Well, first, thanks for having me on. Thanks for inviting me, Michael. I appreciate that. It's great. But yeah, Active is a large format kind of event production company. Mm-hmm. We build like for Nabil's events for the.
So you work with him?
Well, not yet.
but, all right.
Do you need the room after the show?
Possibly. But like Nabil was saying, they have like 25-foot screens that display the.
So that's
the
in your wheelhouse.
Yes, we do 60 and 100-foot screens.
Look at that, 60 and 100. How much better is that than 25?
Multi-camera shoots on site. You know, webcasting the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a really cool kind of company that we were able to do all this cool creative stuff. For our clients.
So now you're based here in Atlanta, but you do work all over the place?
Yes, we're based in Atlanta, actually right down the street from CRISP, but we do international events.
So and then cool. Why would you work with Michael's company as opposed to just doing something in-house since you already have all the AV stuff?
That's a great question. The thing about basically with Active, you know, our bread and butter is the AV production side. So when we do our creative services, you know, stuff, we sometimes need to take the bar up a little higher. So then we'll bring on CRISP, who can kind of work with me as the director and, you know, provide me the tools I need to create the story that the client wants, mm-hmm. Which frees me up to, you know, deal with the client on a more personal level. You know, Michael's staff is amazing. I mean, they were on call on this last project like 24 hours a day, literally, you know, and I'm able to like, you know, hit them with notes, updates, whatever, to make the videos or the multimedia happen like on time. For the client.
And now, is that part of your model, is that you subcontract out with other firms that don't do exactly what you do, and that's kind of seamless for the client?
Correct. Yes. But mostly, you know, it really just depends on the project. Mm-hmm. With this particular situation, we wanted to work with Michael just to make sure that we were able to deliver exactly what we needed on time.
Right.
Because the turnaround was just so fast. So, you know,
yeah, I mean, we had one shoot. So the event was on a Monday morning. It was, mm-hmm. it was a big conference, and we did one shoot. Was it Sunday afternoon, Sunday yeah. evening? It was a green screen shoot to kind of finish up this video. And I mean, it was everything. I always enjoy working there because the projects are so creative too. We were doing right. things like green screen and like comic book heroes and an entire right. Star Wars exactly. live action,
which is another great thing. You know, I'm able to work with the client and get. And understand what they want, you right. know, and I can come to Michael's team. And
then it's his problem, and then yeah. you don't have to think about
no,
it anymore.
No, they're exactly on the same page with me. They're like, oh, yeah, we get that. Boom. Right. So I don't have to spend a lot of time explaining it, right. you know, on that front. So
then,
really
that
great relationship.
And then, so you work together here in Atlanta, or this was mm-hmm. some event somewhere else?
No, this was in Atlanta. So we were able to, but the shoots were actually across two different states. So we were in Georgia and North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Michael's guys were just burning it, making it happen. It was great. So it was really great.
So now, how long have you guys been doing what you do?
We've been working together. Active? Active has been around since 93.
Oh, so yeah. quite
so
some time.
You know, 21 years in the business.
And then how have you seen the business evolve?
Oh, gosh. We started out as a lighting company. And then we added audio. And we added video. Now we're doing multimedia and video production. You know, it's just bursting at the seams.
And what is the type of client? Is it something like the Smite event? Or
Exactly. We do Fortune 500 companies all the way down
so
to...
So like they could be doing their annual event and you're
correct.
Doing fireworks, you're doing all
yeah,
kinds
we're doing
of stuff.
Yeah, we can do
like
fireworks,
a
confetti,
band,
we can do
like
bands.
Like if the band's playing, you're
correct. Yes,
making that happen?
Exactly.
Or if it's a panel or...
Yes, exactly. Oh. From top to bottom, I mean, we're one-stop shop.
And then even if it's like kind of the where they might have different satellite things and you're
sure.
streaming the video.
Sure, definitely. We could do, you know, we do multiple locations.
Wow.
We can stream out to multiple locations. We can, you know, pretty much we try to give the client, we try to give the client exactly what it is they're asking for, you know, no matter what that is.
So what's been the craziest thing you've pulled off?
Oh, man, probably this
elephant.
Last probably this last
animals?
Project. Yeah, we've done some stuff with animal trainers. You know, we got hawks flying around, and you know, like Michael was saying, we're in house at the Georgia Aquarium, so we do a lot of cool stuff underwater.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we'll have a diver on the wet side, you know, in the tank talking to people on the dry side. You know, it's just really cool interactive stuff.
Yeah, we've done several events at the aquarium. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
setting.
Oh,
great.
It's a wonderful place. I can't believe that you are resisting the urge. I know you want to share your pro tip for opening up an event that you learned at the sales loft.
Well, we went to an event. They opened it up with a drum corps.
Oh, yes. Oh, in the aquarium?
This one wasn't. It was at Tech Village.
But it was really cool. I mean, you could just feel it in your bones. It was the Atlanta Falcons drum corps or whatever.
Wow.
It was a cool way. So that might be
when
something
they come
you
in,
next time.
Right. You're like, something's happening, you know.
Cool. We actually had an incident like that at the aquarium, but the decibel level has to be
certain for the animals.
Know, right. And they just kind of surprised us with it, and it was
too loud.
Not awesome. Yeah, it was registering at like 125 dB when it should be at 88.
Oh, wow. That's not
all that. Yeah. What were the fish doing?
Remember broadcasting a lot? How many times we've broadcast
we've
a lot
there.
From the aquarium? Well, that's gorgeous.
Yeah. It's a great venue. Great venue.
All right, Michael. So, why don't we get your coordinates? What's the best way if somebody wanted to learn more about your firm?
Sure. So they could visit our website. It's just crispvideo.com, crispvideo.com. Or they could just reach out to me, Michael, at crispvideo.com. We're located in Midtown, but we film all over the country. And one fun fact about us, because I know Kevin touched on this and we run into this a good bit, 25%, basically a quarter of our work is fixing the work for either a client who had a poor experience working with somebody else.
Wow.
So I guess it's just very important to say that there's a lot of video production companies out there, and there's a lot of people who have friends and family who do this, or they have an uncle, or they have a patient.
Or they have a camera in there.
Right, right.
In the basement.
It's like that billboard that you saw. Like We fix,
what was it? $3,000 nose jobs or something like that.
Right. And that wasn't intentional. We didn't intend for that portion of our business to be basically fixing work, but it really just comes down to really two things. One, do you care about your brand? And then two, do you value your time?
Right.
So if you care about your brand, you want to do it right, and you want to make sure that it's going to get done on time and that it's going to be done efficiently. And then if you value your time, you don't want to micromanage a project. Your time is probably better spent running your business. Whereas a dentist, you know, is probably better treating patients or an attorney working with clients rather than, you know, managing a website or managing a video project. So we kind of look at it that way. And with many of our clients, that's exactly how we've been able to help them.
Right. And that's Crisp Video, and they can see in YouTube, there's probably a million examples.
Yeah, there's several examples there. Just search us on Google. We apparently come up on the first page, too. We're just small business Video Atlanta or Video Atlanta. So, that's been great.
All right, Jim, how about you? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way is atlantaduilawyer.com, or you can email me directly, jim@duijim.com.
All right, Nabil?
HighResStudios.com, or you can email me directly at Nabil@HighResStudios.com.
And that's H-I-R-E-Z?
H-I-R-E-Z Studios.com.
And then Smite, where do I find that?
SmiteGame.com. It's free-to-play game, so you come and play it.
Yeah, that's how they get you, free to start.
Free to start, but we're pretty good about it.
All right, Kevin?
You can reach us at ActiveLighting.com. You can email me directly at Kevin@ActiveLighting.com.
And Miss Meredith, the Humane Society, everybody should know where to get a hold of them.
Come. We'd love for you to come visit us. We've got locations in Midtown and Alpharetta. Visit us online at atlantahumane.org.
All right. Well, thank you all for being part of the show. Thank you, Michael, for putting this together. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.